Hello, welcome to another episode of Mood Swings. I hope you all enjoyed our return last week with an episode with Judy Humber. Obviously, she's out living in Thailand at the moment, so it was quite a unique take on everything that's happened with coronavirus. She had quite a unique story. I thought it was really interesting. Hope you guys did as well, and thank you for everyone that got in touch with their thoughts and things on the podcast. And thank you to everyone that listened, even if you didn't get in touch. Thanks, appreciate it. This week, my episode is with Robbie from Relax Massage. They're a local massage company. We hear all about how that started off, about why Robbie thinks it's important to promote good mental health through his massage work and through the brand that he's kind of trying to create through with Relax. I don't have much else to tell you this week. Things are a sorry state of affairs in the world at the moment. Remember to look after your friends and your family and yourself, and check in with anyone you think might not be doing so good, or and make sure you're doing things for yourself to make sure your own headspace and everything's kept looked after. It's not easy at the moment with all the coronavirus things and you know, the difficulties that are occurring in America at the moment, and countless other things, I'm sure, as well. So make sure that you look after yourself and the people around you. That's all I've got to say. All right, I'll be back briefly at the end of the episode, but thank you so much for listening, and here's my episode with Robbie from Relax. Cheers.
Once again, via Zoom, I'm speaking to Robbie from Relax Sports Massage. How's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, how are you? How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad. You already know that I'm hungover, hanging at my arse. As well, probably the people of Instagram by the time this goes out. So there's no point denying it. How's things been going for you in lockdown?
It's been tough, man. Obviously, at the start, I think that's what, 3 months now? I closed my business down fairly early, just when all the other kind of massage places did. I'll be honest, I didn't think it was going to be anywhere near this. I genuinely was telling people, a few weeks, we'll get going again, we'll be flying. Did not expect this in the slightest. But when we go out today, or this one comes out, I reckon probably another 6 weeks at least for us, which is tough, man. It's so tough.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones where you think there's a jink of light and you might be able to go back to it, and then it comes out, or the more updates come out, and you push back even further. Obviously, my business of, I make the joke of it all the time, but I do touch people for a living. That is what I do. So it's always going to be difficult with what's happening at the moment to go back to being that easy. But we'll see. Hopefully we can get it lifted slightly. Even if there's measures in place to start off with, so we can get back to it. But we'll just need to wait and see what happens in the next stage three, I think we'll be. So we'll need to see what comes of that.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Is that what the kind of, it's been indicated through the guidelines that phase three is?
Yeah. I'm kind of looking at physios and I'm looking at barbers, and I'm trying to gauge them, because both of them kind of get the more recognition, I guess. I can see it's easy. They're the more asked. They're the more asked people for. So you see, if I can keep an eye on that, somewhere around about both of them opening, I reckon we'll be kind of sandwiched in there.
Yeah.
It's just, barbers have obviously got that bonus of not having to, well, I don't touch faces either, but it's just a little bit harder to gauge. Sometimes I'm positive, sometimes I'm not. But I'm sure the whole world's at that at the moment as well.
Yeah, it's, well, I remember I did a podcast right at the start of this with a guy who's a piercer and a tattoo artist. And he, like, he said initially that he thought that it would be early May that he'd be back up and running. So just like, it does show you that people have kind of, expectations are being thrown up like here, there and everywhere, because obviously
yeah,
with someone in the industry like yourself that had the kind of like a quite a realistic expectation that's totally not panned out. We're just
nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell
it'll
us
be mid-July?
Mid-July.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's strange. I think, like, obviously it's the phase one kind of thing that I think feel like it's almost come about kind of out of like nowhere. Like I kept thinking there was going to be longer and longer full lockdown delays. And then they've been like, all right, now you can go see, like, I know you can only meet like one household in outside, but it still seems like quite a big,
jump. Yeah.
Yeah. Like from no contact at all to like, oh, you can meet people. And the only thing kind of like stirs with me is that, like, even when there was on full lockdown, it was still flouted pretty badly by, like,
it's mental, man. There's people booed everywhere.
Yeah, like, I mean, I tried to be pretty good, but even, like, you know, you can interpret the rules the way you want. Like, you know, when it was limited exercise, I was out running like half marathons and shit, which is technically flouting the rules. So, like, everyone was flouting it to some extent, I think. But the more the liberties to get back, the bigger the flouting will be. Which I think
depends. It depends how much people behave. Because if people just start going nuts and there's parties everywhere all over the place, we'll all get knocked back. But it's really hard to tell, like, what's going on.
I know.
It's really hard to tell. It's like some people were, like you say, some people were really strict right at the start. And then some other people kind of mixed, like, going for walks and all that sort of stuff. It's hard not to. Like,
yeah,
it's really hard. But it's been, like, missing all your pals and stuff. That's been the toughest one for everyone, I'm sure.
Yeah. How have you dealt with it on, like, a more personal level outside of just, obviously, you really missing your work, and it's a huge thing for you, but just how has it been for you to be kind of isolated from people and stuff?
It's tough. Like, it's really tough. I was quite, I started working with NHS when it first happened and did a short contract job there, and that kept me busy for a bit. And then after that, I started doing the clothing side of it through Relax. So Relax teamed up with Age Clothing, who are brilliant, absolutely three top class guys from Aberdeen. So that really kept me busy going with all that and sorting out what we were going to release and then releasing it and then taking the orders. And that kept me busy. But say during the day, you can go for a walk and you can talk to your pals and stuff, but it gets to the point where you run out of things to do. And like come 6-7 o'clock at night, you've kind of exhausted all the options you're able to do. And that's when you start getting bored. And then that's obviously when people's minds start ticking, which is not the place you want to be, but everyone's going through the same one. So I've been doing okay. Like, I'm getting better. This clothing thing, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And where I am at Relax, it's going to be, I'm actually upstairs in a place called The Key, which was, it was close to being opening just before lockdown, and that got pushed all the way back. So I'm part of that project, so that's going to be really exciting. So keeping in touch with the guys there, Johnny Smith, who runs there, that's been good as well. So I've got things to look forward to. It's just chomping at the bit to massage people and get back to what I enjoy doing.
Yeah. Want to run us through kind of like how Relax started and what's happening?
So Relax for me, I say this to people all the time, I kind of got into Relax by complete fluke. 3 years ago, I worked for an oil company, and it was not long after I bought my first house, and I got paid off. So that was a bit of a, oh Christ, where do I go from here? And because I just bought the house, I thought about getting a second job and all that sort of stuff. And I was coaching at East End Juniors at the time, the football team, and there was three of us there, so there wasn't a lot for me to do in terms of football. And there was once someone had a really tight hamstring, and just before a game, didn't know what I was doing, launched baby oil all over his leg, not a clue what was going on. And it worked and it helped him. And then it kind of did a couple of them. And I thought, this could maybe work here, because I really enjoyed it. And just went, started going through that way, and kept on the job I was in. I found another job. It wasn't the money that I kind of wanted to be on. So I started looking into that to see if I could maybe just extra money. Did my courses, and that was it. 2.5 years later, I went full-time just at the start of this year in January.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I turned 30 last year, and I thought, if I don't go and give this a go now, I'm probably never going to do it. And it was by complete luck, when I was thinking about going full-time, I actually met Johnny, who was setting up the key, and that was it. Sorted it there and then, and this is what I'm going to go do. Started kind of telling people it's what I was going to do, and everyone, my friends, football team, family, they were like, yeah, go do it. Now's the time to do it. Because when I first started, I thought about it previously, spoke to some places before, and it just didn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, I've got a couple of really close pals, and I'm really close with my dad, and all three of them were a little bit like, but this time around with Johnny, none of them had that impression. All three of them were like, maybe it is now the time. So if all that mixed together, I thought, yeah, right, let's go do it. So I started on the 3rd of January, and I was picking up and picking up and picking up, and I was kind of getting to where I wanted to be, and then this happened. So obviously to start off where I was gutted. I took it really hard the first couple of weeks, like really hard. But everyone's in the same boat. And I started realizing that. So once I started realizing that and calming down a bit, I just started looking towards the future, and that's pretty much where we are now, getting ready to open up again. Obviously, yeah, there's going to be measures in place, but you just got to kind of take that negatives and start thinking about positives instead. And that's what I feel like I did.
I think one positive you can take is that one thing this kind of lockdown has done is there's been a little bit of a shift in people's attitudes towards supporting local business and stuff. So you'd like to think that when everything's back up and going, that'll be more in people's kind of minds and more in their thoughts, and that'll be a big benefit, not just to yourself, but to like hopefully all types of local business.
Yeah, it was massive. Like when I first kind of cut to close, the message that I was getting was mental. Like my mates, first and foremost, were all over me, making sure I was all right. Clients who'd been in, there was clients who'd never even got around to coming in for massages. Yeah. Were messaging me, being like, if I could do anything, I'll help. And like you say, it's massive. Like people are starting to look towards local businesses, and I think it deserves that. Like for me, I've always tried. Like my barber is a guy called Johnny Kennedy. He works for himself. I always try and bum him up. The guys from Age, I'm trying to push them a little bit, and they all do the same for me. And it works. It works well. Like it's hard. Like people, I don't think people realize like how hard it can be sometimes. Try to shift your own business, because a lot of people say to you, oh yeah, I'll definitely come and see you. It's probably the same like when you're fighting, man. Like all your mates will say, oh yeah, I'll come and watch you. And when it comes to actually coming to watch you, they're not all there. Yeah. And it's the same with massaging. Oh yeah, mate, I'll definitely come get a massage off you. You never hear from them. So it's difficult, because you hear a lot of empty promises, but you've just kind of got to look after the boys that do come in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good. I love it. I don't think I could ever go back to working in an office now. And I just need to sit tight and get back to this when I'm able to.
Yeah, well, at least you've got the clothing side of it to keep you busy just now. Where is that something you always wanted to kind of branch out into? Or
kind of. Like, I've done it for a while with another company from Bridget On, but it was more just of sending some to get people wearing my t-shirts. I had some hats, and it was more for me to wear as well.
Yeah.
But I never went down the route of making any money on it. Like up until this last lot with Johnny, with the Age Boys, I never made a penny. I was just kind of selling it for what I bought it for, and just hoping people would wear my stuff about. And they do, and they support me so well, and it's brilliant. And then with this, I thought I can lay down and not take money and kind of hope for the best, or I can try and make money like a normal way. And I thought about the clothing, and it's worked. And the good thing about Age is one of my best mates is part of Age, the guy Elliot Duff. So I'm helping them as well. And so they're making some off it as well. And that's kind of all I can really hope for.
Yeah. It's one of the
it's
most.
Been good.
It's one of the, like, the most addictive things I think you can do in terms of creativity, like making clothing. It gets like once you have an idea for a t-shirt or something like that, and you get it made and you see it, it's like such a buzz. It's like so addictive.
Yeah. Because that was with the age guys, we started with hats, t-shirts, trackies, which was fairly new for me, and hoodies. And then once we got them in, I was talking to the two main guys, George and Ellie, who I've been dealing with. They were kind of showing me the other things we could go down. And that's like you say, it gets addictive. I'm messaging them all the time, being like, what about this? What about that? And they're probably sick to the back teeth of me, but they entertain me at least. And we're trying out some new things and hopefully we can make it work.
It's similar to getting tattooed for me. Like as soon as I get tattooed, I'll be like, I'm only getting this. And then I see I see my new tattoo and I'm like, well, I think this would look really good like next to it. It's the same when you're designing clothing and you're like, you see your logo or the design you come up with on like a t-shirt and you're like, fuck, I think that would look good in a jumper as well.
It's so good. And like people, it does definitely work as well, because the amount of times people, I'll like see somebody that I've only met a couple of times and they're like, oh yeah, I seen somebody wearing your t-shirt at the gym, or I seen, and it's brilliant. Like the guys I work with, like football teams and the hockey team, and they all wear my stuff like religiously, and yeah, it's good. I get massages off it as well. It's good to get recognition, but it's also good to actually get people coming in off the back of it. So it's doing its job, and it's enjoyable as well. And it's keeping me busy, and that's the main thing. So,
yeah, Ace, you mentioned a couple of times that you had an involvement with a junior football team, and you said to me over like messaging back and forth that it was something you wanted to talk about. So.
It's just more the fact of like I've had this kind of not argument, but I've had this discussion with a lot of people before. Like people think football is just football, like the people that play football, they play a game on a Saturday and they go home, and it's not like, I don't think people realize like the mental health involved in football, and even the hockey that I'm involved with as well. Like sometimes people are only happy that hour, 2 hours they're training during the week, and they're 90 minutes on a Saturday. Like, people don't understand that. Like, sometimes that's when people are their happiest, when they're doing the football. So when people go, it's just a game, it's this and that, it's not always that, man. Like, that's sometimes only when people are happy. Like, I met people, I'll massage or whatever, and I'll speak to them before a game, and I'm like, you all right? And they're like, no, but I'm here and I'm playing football. And that's, people don't realize that. Like, people think it's all fun and games. And it is fun and games. Don't get me wrong, it's a hobby. But sometimes it's people's golden light. Sometimes it's taking them away from places they don't want to be. They don't want to be at work. They don't want to be at home. They want to be with their pals playing football. And that's opened my eyes a lot recently. And like the massaging side of it for me, I love doing it. But holy shit, man, like, the amount people open up to you when you're massaging. I'd imagine it's the same as being a barber, and you mentioned the tattoos. I'd imagine it's the same as that. When you're lying on that bed, the people just open up to you. They tell you absolutely everything. Like, some of the stuff people have told me after meeting me for like 10 minutes is crazy. But if that makes people happy and gets some stuff off their chest so they can go home and relax, then by all means, like, I love it.
What do you think it is about, like, you mentioned barbers and tattoo artists there, and I'm in full agreement that people open up to people like that. What do you think it is about, I don't know, those
things? It's a trust thing. Like, you're trusting the barber, you're trusting them with your hair. Your tattoo, you're trusting them to ink your body for the rest of your life. For me, for physios, they're trusting us to try and help them and try and fix them. And so there's a trust thing, and if you're already letting them do that to you, you might as well open up. Like, it's just like, yeah. And it's weird because I do the same thing. Like the guy, Johnny, that I mentioned earlier on, my barber, I tell him everything. We just started off by cutting my hair. Now we've been away together. We've went to shows together. We've been out. We're good. Like best pals.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know why. It just happens. All of a sudden you've then got a mate. And that's what happens with me at Relax. And it happens with the football as well. Like the football teams, the hockey teams, I try and approach teams to do pre-match stuff. And some people love it. Like they just speak to me. They feel like they maybe can't speak to their managers or whatever, or their teammates, because they see them all the time. So they tell me instead. And that's fine. I just take it. And once I'm away, I don't dispose of it, but like it just stays with me. Like I'll try and, but it's, sometimes it's tough. Like on me, and I would imagine barbers and tattoos are the same, because they tell you all these things, and then you've got to go home, and you're sitting having your tea, thinking, "I hope he's all right."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you get all this information, and then you get home with it, and you're like, "I don't know what I'm gonna do with this information. I hope he's okay. I hope he was just." A lot of the time, you kind of hope that people are just getting it off their chest, but you hope that they're not actually really struggling. And it's hard to tell sometimes. You try and encourage them to speak, but mate, I'm 30 and I've only started speaking about this sort of stuff in the last year.
Yeah.
The last 29, 30 years of my life, I just bottled it all up because I thought that's what you're meant to do. And I think a lot of people are the same. They think that's what you're meant to do. It's just a lifestyle thing. You're meant to be the big man, or you don't want to be that guy that's greeting about stuff all the time. So you just take it and accept it. But sometimes you've got to speak about it. And that's where the football thing for me was, when people were opening up to me. And then that's when I thought, I'm going to start pushing this a little bit. And you've maybe seen it on the Relax Instagram and stuff. I've spoke about mental health a few times. And a motto that I always try and use on that Instagram is like, just don't be a dick. And it started off as a joke for me, like trying to make it lighthearted so it wasn't too serious of a post. And then I really started kind of believing in it as well. It's like, just don't be a dick about things. Like if someone tells you something or someone's struggling, just don't be a dick. Just try and look after folk. Like it doesn't mean you have to be best mates with them, but don't be a dick to them at the same time. And that's kind of just where my mentality came from, of trying to get people to speak a bit more. And I think it works.
Yeah. Have you found like a way for yourself to kind of deal with the emotional labor of hearing people's problems and a way to process that for yourself?
I just try not stress too much. Like when I get home, if I am really worried, I've got no qualms about messaging them again, or because I always have their details off Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. I'll maybe get in touch with them. Like I always try and make sure that when a person leaves my room, that's not the last time they'll hear from me. And that's not because I'm wanting them to come back in or anything like that. I just want to make sure they're all right. If I've texted them and said, "How's your legs feeling now? Do you feel okay?" And if they choose to say, "Yeah, and thanks for the chat, blah, blah, blah," perfect. I feel like I've done it as well. I think I've got better with it just with experience of speaking about these things. Like to start off with, I was a little bit like, holy shit, like I'm not the most emotionally stable guy as it is. So taking more people's problems on, I was a little bit like, whoa, I need to watch what I'm doing here. Cause I'm a very stressful dude. Like my mates joke about it all the time, but I stress so easily about things, like for no reason, football games, work. Like, you know, like when you go, like you got a job or whatever, and people like work put you on courses.
Yeah.
I used to like freak out about going on courses and stuff in case it was too hard or in case I failed it. And then I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just a really stressful guy. But as I've started massaging more and trying to get people to speak to me, somehow like that's calmed me down a bit. Cause I feel like I've realized now that I'm not the only person in the world that stresses.
Yeah. 100%.
Whereas at the start, I don't think I realized that. I think I felt, oh Jesus, I'm the only man in the world that's stressed. And that's stupid. Like everyone struggles. Just because they don't speak about it doesn't mean they don't struggle. So that's kind of where I've kind of learned to embrace myself a bit more and taking more people's, if I can help people or issues, then I just try and not worry about it too much. And it helps by speaking. But people, it's easier said than done. But that's kind of why I was so keen to kind of come on here. Like, I just want people to speak. Like, it doesn't have to be me. Like, I started off just by speaking to my two best mates. And then it started getting a bit better. And then it was family. And then it was maybe my dad. Or it's just whoever you feel comfortable with, you speak to. And it doesn't mean that they're going to give you words of wisdom that's going to change your life around. But I can guarantee you, if you speak about it, you'll feel so much better, like so much better. And I know you're the same. Are you similar? Do you Do you feel better when you speak about it? Or?
Yeah, well, I think so. What you're saying there, it's so easy to think about stress, and it's so easy to get in like an echo chamber in your own head. I think about things like you'll have feelings or thoughts, and you'll be like, they'll seem so ridiculous, and you'll be like, oh, I'm definitely the only person that's ever thought or felt this way about a certain thing. And you'll just be like, well, no one else has to know, and you'll keep it to yourself. And then it turns out if you actually like express it, that you know loads of other people have felt that or thought that, and it's kind of a almost like narcissistic or egotistical. I think you're the only person in the world that's had those feelings. But when it's something that maybe you're not proud of, or if it has like shame attached, it's easy to keep it to yourself. And but when you express it, you realize that everyone is the same.
Yeah. It's just like, but then I've learned as well, and I don't know if it's because we're getting older, so your friends are getting older as well. But like my two best mates I keep on referring to, they don't even, I don't think they struggle in that respect, but they're so good for me to speak to about. Like they probably don't understand how I'm feeling, but they just make it, it makes them, they're able to speak about it. So it doesn't, you don't have to go looking for folk that are also struggling. That's another thing I've learned. Like, it doesn't have to be someone that's going through something similar. Just speak to whoever you feel comfortable with. And eight times out of 10, I reckon, they're probably able to at least listen. And if they listen, then you'll feel better. You're just able to rant to them, just vent. Like, it's kind of even what I'm doing now. I'm just speaking what I feel, and that's what people do to me, and then they leave thinking, feeling brand new.
What do you think it is about, firstly, what do you think it is that makes it so difficult? I think for Scottish people, it's kind of like a thing that we find it difficult to open up. And what do you think it is about the culture and attitudes around it that's changing that's making it easier for people?
I don't know. I think it's just because it's getting more exposure everywhere. Like, it's a big thing now, is it? Like mental health, and I don't agree with it as such, but the fact that even celebrities not talk about it now, like mental health isn't something to be, but it's weird because, and I also think some younger people are getting brought up and it's easier for them to speak. So they're able to speak about it, and a lot of younger folk are really honest with it. And I think that's helped people a little bit more as well. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just, I think it's getting more exposure now, which is good because, but I hold my hands up. Before I started struggling, like I started struggling maybe 10 years ago. Before then, I was the same as everyone else. Like, there's no such thing. It's a load of shite. It's made up. It's a myth. Until you're in it, and then you go, oh, okay, maybe it's not a myth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just this thing, I don't know what it is. Like, Scottish people just think they're indestructible sometimes. And it's, I don't even think it's just Scottish, I think it's British as well. They just think we're not American. Like, they talk about your feelings and stuff is like something you see in a movie or a kid's drama, but it's not, it's real life to people.
Yeah. It's interesting, just a point you made there about younger people. Like, I remember when I was like young, it seemed like older people looked down on younger people. It was just like the next generation's going to be an absolute shit show. But like, I don't know. I have a lot of faith and hope in young people. Like, younger people, I think maybe because of the internet and stuff and how like much it's part of their lives, they seem sort of much more aware of, like, I don't know, issues around race and like gender and sexuality and stuff. Younger people seem a lot more like tapped into that, and like as if they're being brought up with that, yeah, and open. So I'm the opposite of what I thought people thought of, like, my generation, like older people thought of us. I'm the opposite for younger people. I've got like full hope that maybe like one day things will be put right by the next generation.
So like through Relax and stuff, I massage quite a lot of like kids. Like, there's quite a lot of teenagers that play sports that, because their mums or dads or whatever use social media or heavy on social media, they see me. And then I started, like, last year, there was a guy from West Dyke, I think it was 16s or 17s. And one guy came in, then like quite a few of them came in. And I think I ended up dealing with maybe 5, 6, like 7, 17 year olds, 16 year olds. mate, like you say, they were coming into me and speaking like just full on men. Like they were just, and that was what I thought. Right. Okay. Maybe kids aren't like they're made to be. Like folk think all the younger generations, a lot of shite, and they're this, they're mollycoddled and they're all that sort of stuff. And then I started speaking to these like 16 year olds on a regular basis. Nicest guys you meet, like so polite all the time. Like I would speak about them and then they would want to speak about me, like ask questions about me. It wasn't just, yeah, I agree with you. I think the younger lot are actually a lot better than they're giving credit for. You probably see it in the gym as well. I see some kids in the gym and the young, the Muay Thai guy from the gym, is it Lewis Tout?
Yeah. Yeah.
He comes in and sees me with his dad and that kid is an absolute gentleman. Like, and he's only what, 10, 11 maybe?
I think, yeah, I don't know, 12 or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he's a pure little gentleman and little things like that. Like, it's obviously about how you're raised as well, I guess, but they're good and they speak about it. Older people speak about it. Our generation's kind of stuck in the middle of needing to speak about it because everyone else does. Yeah. So why don't we? And I think they are. I think people really are starting to open up, which is good.
Yeah. Just to clarify, I still think that most teenagers are still arseholes.
They're arseholes, like, but they're well behaved arseholes.
Yeah, fully clarified. No generation of teenagers is getting away without being reminded that they are complete dicks. But they've got their hearts in the right place underneath it all. So that
I look back at it as well, man. Like I look back when I was a teenager and think, what a little twat! Like what a little twat you were. And then you grow up and you look back and you think, Jesus, what was I doing? Like, yeah. Why was I a little arsehole? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't want to go down that road. There's too many stories I could end up telling. So I met, like, we first met through the combat center through combat sports, and I know that you've got a couple of guys you sponsor that are. At combat sports athletes. I don't know why my I told brain fog there. So how did you get involved with training combat sports? Is that something you've been doing for a long time or?
Yeah, no, the first one. So like I try to learn how to, I did a white collar thing maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I fully admit, I didn't probably take it as serious as I should have.
Is that the boxing or MMA?
Yeah, the boxing. It was before any of the MMA. It was one of the original boxing ones.
Okay.
And I didn't take it as serious as I could. I took the fundraising really serious. Like, I think I raised it was £1,000 in donations. I sold three tables, which is like 300-400 quid each.
Yeah.
So I took it really serious. But when it came to fighting, like the fighting side of it, I don't think I gave it as much. If I put the same consideration into that, I could have done well, but after maybe, so I did that, took a bit of a hiding, and my ego took a bit of a doing. So after that, I think I started running again with my mate Sean, and then I went back to the gym, and Alan Strachan took me for PTs. So we were boxing, and then maybe second or third session in, he was like, have you ever done anything more than boxing? And I hadn't. And he was like, right, next time when you're throwing punches, instead of throwing a punch, throw an elbow instead. So I threw the elbow, and as you know, it makes that noise in the pad.
Yeah.
And a big noise in the pad, and then straight away I was like, I like that. I like that a lot. And then that was it. So I was in and out of the gym maybe for 2-3 years. I went through that getting paid off stage like we spoke about. So doing PTs isn't as easy as you would want them to be. And then when I started up again, Relax. So initially I started sponsoring Kieran Connor, and that was through mutual friends. I heard about Kieran and he was fighting. So I thought I'm going to approach him. I never sponsor people in terms of money. I think I'm too small time for that. Like I can't be throwing money at people. I need to look after myself first and foremost with that. So I just try and give people massages for free when I sponsor them. Worked with Kieran, and I've worked with Kieran ever since. I also work with a boxer from the Northern Gym, Kristen Fraser, and me and her have been together since the start, and she's the same every single fight now. We work together, and then as it got, and then this year once I went full time, I heard about Lewis and I met Lewis And I thought, I'm going to approach you because I knew he was looking to go professional, or he pretty much is professional, really. And I thought, I'm going to speak to him, got in touch with him about that and dealt with it. And then he's a really nice kid. And then started doing PTs with him. And now I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking to, I think I'm going to fight next year. I quite want to do a interclub. Like, I think you started in that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, like, I did two interclubs, yeah.
Like, so that's my aim. Like, I'm anyone that's probably listening to this that's been to me before, I'm a big dude. Like, I'm a quite a large guy, so shifting some weight and feeling a bit more confident about myself, and then I can start going to classes, and then I want to fight next year. That would be my aim. Even if I have one fight, I just want to say I've done it.
Totally. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that if you're into combat sports, it's definitely something you want to take off the bucket list, is to have like at least one fight. Because
the
want
thing
to be-
is, I'm not like, I'm a complete fanny. Like, I'm not a fighter at all. I think I've had two fights in my life, two hidings in my life, and that's my record so far. So and anyone that knows me, I'm a complete softie, like ridiculous. But that's why I like Muay Thai. Like, I like boxing. I love watching it. But I feel like sometimes, like, if you're not winning in boxing, then people think you're shite, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
When it's combat sports, MMA, Muay Thai, if you get beat, then you get beat. Like, you get up and you go again and you fight somebody next time. And no one cares. Like, yeah. If you lose in MMA or Muay Thai, no one cares. Yeah. And I really like that. And the boys in the combat center are brilliant. Like,
yeah. It's definitely true in Muay Thai about winning and losing. I think MMA is a bit, I do agree that it's more of a, like, losers are less cared about than in boxing. I think boxing's got a really toxic relationship with winning and losing that's actually fundamentally changed how the sport works, in terms of that for the first 5 years of someone's professional career, they don't fight anyone that's really a risk to them.
Yeah.
Because they want to build up that unbeaten record. Like, MMA, winning and losing still is a big thing, but I think it's more forgiving if you lose. It doesn't really tarnish your reputation.
No.
As much. But Muay Thai, I think, it's just got a totally different aspect to it. I think it's kind of just about, the whole ethos of Muay Thai is just kind of about doing your best and trying your hardest and showing that you're fucking, that you've got heart and that you got the grit to do it. It's not really so much about the decisions, really.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's one of those ones where, and being around the gym as well, like, some of the people I've met through that gym, just absolute toffs. Like, and I don't think I've met a bad egg through that combat center. That's genuine.
Yeah.
They're all really nice people around about that gym. The guys that do all the Muay Thai or the MMA boys, and then there's the girls like Justine and Sarah and all that. They're off their heads by the end of it, but they're all nice people.
Yeah. Well, Kieran Connor, who you sponsor, once told me I had a grizzly arsehole. For a fortnight afterwards, kept offering to beat my arsehole for me, and kept asking if I wanted to rent his house. So that's the most shocking thing I've heard in the combat center four walls, or the most shocking I'm willing to share on the podcast anyway.
Nah, me and Keaton have been working together for 3 years, and yeah, that doesn't surprise me. He's genuinely one of the horniest men I've ever met in my life. He's an absolute tough of a guy, like, do anything for you. But he's a character, to say the least.
He's an absolute character. He's one of a kind for sure.
So that's how that kind of all came about, the sponsorship, getting into the gym from there. I'm getting on really well with Lewis. He's probably been coaching me for maybe a month before lockdown, and then we've been doing two or three Zoom PTs a week. It's getting there, and there's a massive improvement already. And it feels like all the other coaches I've had previously, at the same time, I haven't committed fully to them. So it hasn't really been the same situation I've been with Lewis. But because I give him, like, all my trust, and he's brilliant, he's a really good coach. Like, I know we've spoken about kind of off air, he's a complete screwball, like, but he's really, really good at what he does.
Well, it's just strange for me, because when I met Lewis, he was very much a 17-year or 18-year-old kid, and was just like, he'd been doing Muay Thai for about a year longer than me, and he was physically and kind of just the way he is as a person was totally different to how he is now. And he was a much kind of younger, quieter guy. And then since then, obviously, I've known him a few years now, and he's become like, I mean, the way he's progressed through Muay Thai has been unreal to see. What he was always good, but when I first met him, he was nowhere near the level he's at. I mean, he always battered me about, but he's even by kind of the level he always was good, but the level he's progressed at has been absolutely shocking. And then now he's obviously So before we go, is there anything else you want to speak about? Anything else you need to give a shout out to, or?
No, just that I wanted to kind of make a point of speaking about mental health, like, just because, like, I don't know, I say that, I joked about it earlier on when I said that don't be a dick and stuff, but it's kind of a mantra that I've kind of taken on. Like, there's just no need for it. Like, there's just no need to be a dick. Like, people sometimes can't help it, or they say they can't help it, but I think everyone can, to be honest. And I've spoke about the football quite a bit, but the hockey was quite big for me as well. Cause I think football was when I started listening to people a lot more and taking in what they say and trying to look after people. But the hockey boys were kind of the ones that kind of got me to speak about it a little bit more as well.
Okay.
And it's a weird sort of, like, hockey is, it's a little bit like the Muay Thai in that, because physically, like, it's a very, very physical sport. So, like, There's no real preseason around the changing rooms, and if you're acting like a bit of a, if you're acting a bit weird, or you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing in that changing room, like being an arse to people, you're told very, very early doors, don't be a dick. And that's kind of grown me up a little bit as well, because like I say, like the mental health episode I had, I struggled really bad from like 20. First couple of years, like, yeah, really stupid. And then as I got older, I started speaking about it a little bit more. And don't get me wrong, I still have little episodes where I'll think about stuff, or I'm really hard on myself as well, like with my business and stuff. Like, I expect everything to be like working, or I expect myself to be this high. And then I sometimes forget I've only been full time for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking I should be doing this and I should be doing that, I was quite bad at the start. Some people tell you how you should be running your business or living your life or whatever, when they don't have a clue. And I don't understand, like, some people just think it's all right to tell people, oh, you should do this. Like, why? Like, I don't tell you what to do with your life. And I used to be really bad for caring. I still do care what people say, but I used to be really bad for like dwelling on it. Like, I would go home and be like, oh, I asked this guy how his massage was, and he just said, it was okay. See, someone saying it was okay, mate, it used to burn in my mind for about 3 weeks. I used to be like, oh my God, I'm shy, I'm giving up, I'm not a masseuse anymore. And I look back at like some of the stuff I used to think and think, what am I doing? Like, just so hard on myself. But it's good, like, the people look after me nowadays, and like people kind of talk about my clothes, and or people will message me, and it's good. And sponsoring the boys, like the fighters, and I sponsor a few now. I sponsor those three fighters, a couple of football teams I do partnerships and that with. I was thinking the Combat Center was going to maybe do a show, I think, were they? They were contemplating doing a show before this all happened.
I believe, I don't want to say too much, because I don't know everything, and two, who knows what's going to happen now, but I believe there was a venue booked, and they had a date in mind for a show. Yeah, I think they wanted to do another, because it's been a couple of years since the people from the Combat Center have done like Muay Thai shows and stuff. But since the Combat Center, as the Combat Center, put on a show, I think it's been quite a while. So yeah, they did have something in mind, I think.
Yeah, because like that's one I want to work with. Like, there was a show maybe two years ago maybe, and I was gonna. It's when I first started that I was gonna help Celia Bartlett with the pre-fight like rubs.
Yeah.
But one of my mates from the hockey got married that day, so I went to the wedding instead. So it's something I've never worked in a fight, like in the fight sort of scene, and that's something I really want to get involved with. Because for me, like, I've been open about this. I've said this to people, like, my 10-year plan, by the time I hit 40, I would love to be working for a full-time sports club. Like, I would love to work in America doing this. Like, that's my dream in my head. I would love to work for a hockey team or a football team or anything.
Yeah.
Abroad. That's my little, my game plan. So anytime I can help out with shows or football teams and that, I always try and push myself. And people start, people know this now and they approach me and stuff, and that's really good. But yeah, in terms of shout outs and stuff, no, I'm based down at the Quay, the Regent Quay. It's going to be the Quay Cafe is going to open up, hopefully just after this lockdown's ready to go. That's a nutritionist giving a nutrition cafe with a coffee bar with, do you drink coffee? Are you a coffee guy?
I do. Just recently. Yeah, since my birthday, since the day I turned 28, that's when I started drinking coffee because someone bought me one and I didn't have the heart to tell them I didn't drink coffee. So I drank it and was like, fuck me, I've been missing out.
So there's a company from Fraserburgh called the Kilted Coffee.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're really good. So they're going to be doing the coffee at the Quay. And then there's a personal trainer, Greg. He's going to be working out of there as well. And then there's myself and there's a physio as well. So it's going to be good. I think it's really going to take off the food side of it and then the kind of massaging and the physio side of it as well. So I think a lot of people are going to jump onto that, which will be good for me as well.
Awesome. Well, listen, I'll give you a big shout out when we're out of lockdown and all that is kicking off and people can go visit you. But what I'll do is I'll stick all your social media and stuff in on the episode for people to keep up to date.
I've actually got a t-shirt for you as well, so I'll need to see you in the next couple of days to give you some merch.
Awesome. We'll have a free tea.
I appreciate you having me on, man.
No, I feel like we could speak for ages, but I'm trying to. A promise I made to myself when I started doing the episodes over Zoom was that I was going to keep them shorter. So
yeah, of course.
But yeah, we can maybe do this again, hopefully face to face once all this is sorted out. But yeah, thanks, mate, for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem at all. Cheers, Nate. Thank you very much. See you. Thank you, mate.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to the episode with Robbie. It was great to have him on. I felt like the podcast could have gone on a good bit longer, but. Yeah, try to keep them short, but yeah, definitely no shortage of things to speak to, and it was great to have him on, as I said. For next week, I don't quite know what's happening. I haven't recorded too many episodes in advance at the moment, so I don't have anything I know that will definitely be going out, but I may get something sorted, I may not, for kind of several reasons at the moment, but whenever the next podcast comes out, I hope you keep safe until then, and remember what I said in the intro, try and look after yourself and all your friends and anyone you might be concerned about in this difficult time. I feel like it's just getting tougher and tougher, even with like lockdown measures and stuff being eased. Of course, some liberties have been returned and that's great, but I think things are still starting to take a darker turn for various reasons. But I'm not going to finish the podcast on such a negative note. So just thank you all for listening and stay safe until the next podcast out, whether it's next week or whenever. Okay, cheers. Bye.